Lord God, as we have already proclaimed, this is the night. This is the night when you broke bread with your followers. This is the night of all nights that we remember. Come and be among us and stir our hearts and draw us close to you, our Lord and our Redeemer. Amen. So the story of these last days of Jesus' life, as Dan just read for us, finds him with his disciples. And I just love that text that said he desired to eat the Passover meal with them. The Passover, for those of you who might be a bit rusty on Jewish history, is the annual feast. At this time, when Jesus gathered, it had been 1,500 years that they had been doing this. Perhaps there were some years in exile when they did get to celebrate it, but for 1,500 years, this tradition of gathering and remembering what God had done when they were in Egypt, in bondage in Egypt. And as we heard Deb read in the Exodus story, God had placed a judgment on the gods of Egypt, and he was going to bring a plague. And he said, if you put blood on the doorpost and over the lintel of your door, then when I come, I will pass over. And so that's where the word Passover comes from. Jesus, aware of what lay ahead in the hours and days, take this moment in time to have a final Passover meal with his disciples, to sit and recline at table with them. If we were to put together all that we know just from Luke's gospel and the other gospels of what went on in that upper room time that he had, there's lots. One, we hear that, as we said in the beginning, this is the night that he washed their feet and he gave them a new commandment. And he said, love as I've loved. This was the night also when there was an inner struggle going on with one of his disciples named Judas, who wanted to call his hand, so to speak, at least my way of understanding this betrayal. And then one of the texts says that he went out at night and he betrayed him. We also hear that there's a discussion going on in Luke's gospel, who is to be the greatest? This discussion going on. And can you imagine Jesus, knowing all that was going on, how he had to respond, continuing to love, continuing to extend mercy and grace to these followers of his. And then classic Peter, we didn't read that far. Classic Peter makes a bold proclamation, I'll never deny you, Lord. This is the night. That meal that Jesus desired to eat before he suffered. But for tonight, I want to talk about a moment. A moment when Jesus takes the bread and the cup and he proclaims a new covenant, a new type of covering, a new type of protection. The Exodus story tells us one, but that was just a foretaste. It was a shadow of what God was going to do and accomplish in that amazing covering called the cross. This moment, this bread and wine, body broken, blood poured out, is a once-for-all covering. Past, present, future rebellions and self-will actions lose their grip on humanity when Jesus takes the full load of humanity's sins and puts it on the cross. The once-for-all offering of the Lamb that was slain is accomplished. This moment, my body broken, my blood poured out, proclaims something extraordinary. You know, Paul writing, one of the other readings appointed for this night is from 1 Corinthians, and Paul writes just 20 years, maybe a few more later. Listen to what he says. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, what? This is my body given for you. This is my blood poured out for you. And then he says, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. As often as you eat and drink, you proclaim. So what we now know is that this meal Jesus desired to eat has become the moment that encapsulates all moments. Past rescues, present rescue, future rescues. Take and eat in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your heart by faith with thanksgiving is what we say week after week. It's a sacrament, an outward and visible signifying the inward reality of God's amazing, glorious rescue. How many times and in how many circumstances have the people of God gathered and shared this meal, this participation in the Lord's death and resurrection until he comes again? Did the first disciples gather after Stephen was stoned to death and break the bread and drink the cup? We don't know when, but when Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of our Lord, died, did the early church mourn and share this sacred meal together? When the churches that were planted throughout Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth, whatever situation going on in the centuries that followed, were overrun by various invaders and places of worship burned or destroyed, did the people of God gather in some hidden place or out in some scorched field and set up a table and break bread and drink wine, the wine of a new covenant, a new promise? You know, my own short life and experiences found me on Easter morning as a young 12-year-old receiving bread and wine just weeks after the death of our beloved mother. I have vivid memories of weekly receiving communion as a young adult after my faith had been rekindled. As a priest, the honor of sharing bread and wine at baptisms and weddings and funerals is beyond words. Or the depth of God's mercy, breaking bread and wine on the slab of a church demolished from the winds and waters of a Gulf hurricane with the remnant of a small congregation. Whenever you eat and drink, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Indulge me for a few more moments of memory. When this church was first started 21 years ago, our first Easter was celebrated with the Easter Vigil, an ancient liturgy which retells a story from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And we told that story, and then we broke bread and drank wine. Whenever you eat and drink, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. That following year, this small body of believers found ourselves lost in grief as our nation and our world saw the Twin Towers fall, and we didn't know what to do, so we held a funeral service and then broke bread and drank wine and proclaimed the Lord's death until he came. That night that Jesus gathered with the disciples, only he knew the full extent of what lay before him. And really, had he tried to tell them, they would not have been able to handle it. Is this not true for us as well? Can you imagine knowing all that you have even experienced so far and what's laying ahead? I don't think our feeble minds could embrace it. So as we end this night's gathering, this night's worship, and prepare this space for Good Friday, we do so having claimed the moment of all moments when the Lord Jesus takes the bread and he offers the cup and he says, this is a new covenant, a covering for all people. Amen.